I'd like to share a brief thought for especially the sisters. I'd like us to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'd like to read starting at verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a male child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli observed her mouth. Verse 14. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be intoxicated? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know, one of the wonderful things that we can expect of God is that when he makes a statement, it is absolutely true in the Word of God. In our readings this morning, we began by saying or pointing out the fact that God came to Moses, and he gave him what he wanted Moses to say unto the children of Israel relating to the law of the Nazarite. And he says there in that second verse, if a man or a woman vow a vow, the Nazarite, here's the criteria for taking up this law. And so we say to ourselves very often, you know, as you look through the scriptures, show me a man who is a Nazarite. Show me one who is dedicated, committed to the Lord. And as we've heard just a few minutes ago, we can turn to Samuel, we can turn to Samson, we can turn to the features seen in John the Baptist. But show me a woman who has these features of Nazariteship. And it is in this beautiful picture here, this beautiful account of Hannah, that God wants to encourage not just brothers, but he wants to encourage sisters as well to know that this is not something that is restrictive or exclusive to young men, but that it is something that God wants you to have a desire in your heart to live out in this day the principles, if you would, of Nazariteship. This is a very familiar story to us, and very often we pass this over to get to the what we think is the most important point. But I wanted to just highlight a few things about Hannah. I've often asked myself, where is it that Hannah understood or got these principles of Nazariteship? You know, Hannah had a physical problem that became an emotional problem. Hannah was barren. She could not bring forth a child. She had a womb that was barren, dead, tied up, unable to produce life. And Hannah was in a domestic situation where she was very often made aware of the fact that you are without the ability to produce. And one of the great things that God has given to women is the ability for life to come forth from their vessels. And Hannah, this became a burden upon Hannah. It was a natural burden for her. Why is it that I can't produce a child? And she went before the Lord, and she was caught up with just the natural impact of these things on her personal life. But then God exercised her. And I think that this is part of the beauty of when we come together in conferences like these. That we come from our different homes and experiences. We have different burdens and challenges. And yet God takes portions of Scripture and he hones in on that part of it that is to affect me so that he adjusts my perspective on life. And he adjusted Hannah's perspective. You know, Hannah, it's not simply about a vessel that is in competition with the other woman. It is not just, Hannah, that you feel that you've been robbed of something. Hannah, you need to have a greater spiritual perspective on things. Hannah, you yourself need to be devoted to me first, seeing the way God sees things. It's mentioned in chapter 1 that there was a high priest. He was sitting. He wasn't functioning properly. He had sons that were the sons of Belial. They were robbing God and polluting the people. They were defiling the women of that day, doing everything in opposition to the lofty place that they were to have. Hannah, get your eyes off of your own personal situation. Get your eyes on what God is seeing. And Hannah, in prayer, God turns her eyes to see. You know what? The environment, the situation, the atmosphere of the day is in opposition to God. The people of God need to have one brought forth that can stand for God. And in the midst of this, this is how God delights, and this is how God works. That in the midst of what we think is weakness and chaos, God wants to bring forth young people that will be separated unto God. But where does it start? It started in the heart of Hannah. When Hannah was readjusted, she started to understand there was a greater purpose than just being able to bring forth something natural from this vessel. So she, it says here that she vowed a vow. Oh, Numbers chapter 6. Where does she get this from? Oh, you know, she, like you young people, like myself, we have heard many of these things for many, many, many years. We can recite them sometimes, oftentimes. We can debate Scripture. And yet when we lose perspective, these things, they don't mean much. But when there is that spiritual adjustment, Hannah does what the Nazariteship calls for. She goes before God and she vows a vow. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and give me a male child. You see, she could have simply said, you know, all I want is a child. But why a male child? So that the corruption, the defilement, the weakness, the apostasy that had taken place of Israel, that it might be arrested and that God might bring forth a young man, one who was separated unto God, consecrated from his birth, made a Nazarite from her womb, that he would grow up to be someone that God could use. Do you know where it started for Hannah? I believe it started in her parents' home. I believe it continued in principle in the home of her husband. Every year they went up to Shiloh. There was that which was, that spiritual aspect that was there that God needed to bring again to the forefront so that there would be an adjustment in the way in which she saw things. And you know, young sisters, I said this last night, that the Lord is going to bless many of you, that you will be married, that you will have children.